Call the commission meeting of Wednesday, March 28, 2012 to order. I'd like to confirm that we have a quorum.
We have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Great. Thank you. Under my chair's report, I would like to present a resolution of appreciation to Albert Yee on the occasion of his retirement from MTC. Albert, if you'll join me at the podium. Albert, on behalf of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, I have a resolution of appreciation for you on your retirement from MTC. And you're retiring after serving as director of the Highway and Arterial Operations Sections for nearly 7 years and after a total of 33 years in public service. You look too young for that. Before joining MTC, Albert toiled for 26 years in a series of increasingly responsible positions with Caltrans District 4, beginning in 1979 as an assistant transportation engineer and concluding with service as deputy district director from 2002 to 2005. Caltrans and the California Transportation Foundation in 1999 bestowed on Albert the Carl Moskowitz Award for Outstanding Engineering and Transportation. He conceived and developed and delivered the Freeway Performance Initiative. He established a strategic plan to guide cost-effective investment in the Bay Area freeway network to maximize the efficiency, improve the management, and increase the reliability and upgrade the safety of the region's highways and arterials while limiting freeway expansion to only the most essential locations. He's constantly led by example, inspiring to his staff to always be more creative and innovative, and was more willing to take risks to find the most effective and efficient ways to achieve results. Albert, the board here is extremely proud of the work you've done over all these years, and we thank you for your service and hope that you enjoy a wonderful retirement.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Would you like to say a few words?
Thank you very much. I'd just like to take this opportunity very briefly to thank the commission for what was an incredible opportunity to work at this great agency and for trusting in me to get the Freeway Performance Initiative started. It's hard to believe that 6 years ago there was no FPI, and I hope you continue to support it. I'd like to especially thank Commissioner McKenzie for support as chair of the Ops Committee for the last couple of years, and Chair Worth before him as the chair of the Ops Committee. Especially I'd like to thank Steve, Ann, and Andy for giving me this opportunity to culminate my career in this great place. And most of all, I'd like to thank some of my staff here who have been working in the Highway and Arterial Operations Section and delivering the FPI for you, and I hope you continue to support them. So thank you, and good luck in the future to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we'll make that... And now we'll make the resolution legitimate. Is there a motion to approve the resolution?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
A rousing aye. Thank you, Albert, for all your great work.
Madam Chair,
yes,
if I could.
Oh, absolutely.
As you can tell, Albert Lee is a gracious man. But not only that, he is a guy who has made my lot in life for the past 2 years very easy, very simple. He knows his stuff. He delivers. His staff are responsive and well-trained. What more could you ask? And thank you, Albert. I've enjoyed these 2 years, and whoever follows you, large shoes to fill. Thank you again. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay. We'll now move to item number 3, which is the Policy Advisory Council report. Egon Turplin. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. Egon Turplin, Vice Chair of the MTC Policy Advisory Council. We had a busy meeting last month, and I just wanted to share two items that we discussed. I know they're not on your agenda today, but they will be coming up next month, and they're ones you've been working on for quite a while. There is a purple sheet that has our the motions that we made, and I wanted to go into a little bit more detail. We talked first about the Transit Sustainability Project. And after many years and many meetings, and you've had select committees discussions on it, we are nearing an ending point with that project. And there's been a lot of back and forth between the transit operators and staff, and I think staff has done a very good job of pushing the ideas forward and trying to get the attention focused on reducing the overall costs over time while growing ridership, making transit viable, making transit really be there for the Plan Bay Area growth vision. The challenge now, though, is that there's a proposal on the table to reduce cost, and so the Policy Advisory Council passed a motion to support the 5% cost target that the operators in part had been objecting to. The message we wanted to deliver to you all now is support what staff is doing with this. If you don't support that, you should come up with another alternative that has a stick, that has something that's going to really try to control costs over time. Because if the worst that we could do right now is at the end of this process not have anything to hold the operators accountable over the long term. And I know that there's challenges, and each operator is managing buses in a different context on street conditions that vary. But the most important thing is to really try to get something out of this. There's many other ideas that could be on the table, but that was sort of the first one, to at least support what staff is doing. And if you come up with an alternative, that alternative really should be to try to kind of hold costs while growing ridership. On the second idea, with Plan Bay Area, we had a presentation about the most recent scenario, and again passed a motion saying we're supportive of the focused growth concept that's underlying the scenario. Now, we didn't go into the methodologies, we didn't go into the details, where growth is going, where growth is not going within this. That's for a different environment, for a different place. But the concerns that we had are twofold. First, the policies embedded in the scenario now are insufficient to achieve the focused growth scenarios. Quite simply, you're not going to get the kind of concentration discussed in this scenario with the types of policies that are in place now. So the onus becomes, what are those types of policies to really see greater concentration within the region? And there's a lot of them out there. The second point really has to do with then how you all vote on the spending of regional transportation funds. And the Policy Advisory Council's message, and that's something we're going to be following closely, is you should be voting on projects that adhere to the land use vision in the scenario. That's the purpose of why we did SB 375. That's the point of a sustainable community strategy. So that's something we really hope to be partners with, but it's also, I think, our role as an outside body in watching how you discuss the regional transportation plan projects going forward. Are those projects going to focus growth in the places where the land use scenario says growth ought to take place? So those are the two main things to discuss. Lastly, I just wanted to throw in a personal note about a different topic. I've just spent the last 3 days with a group called America 2050, which is doing national level infrastructure planning around high-speed rail and energy and water, and is sort of the main vehicle for talking about mega regions. And one of the big themes of that discussion was finding a way to pay for major infrastructure projects on our own, within our existing states and within our existing mega regions. And I think in your discussion today about Caltrain and a blended system, that's very much in line with some of the best thinking that's happening on a national level about how to do big types of projects in the current political and fiscal climate that we're in. So I can take any questions about the other items.
Okay, any questions for Egon? Seeing none, thank you
very much.
Thank
you
very
much.
Any commissioner comments?
Yes,
Mr. Green.
As a Lakers fan, I must protest this card, although I do see sort of ecumenical, just a Clipper as well as Warriors on it. But the real team has a new owner. The Dodgers are ready to go uphill again.
But it does have your college colors on it, Mark, so, you know, two out of three isn't bad.
All right, I do have one quick announcement, and that is all of the commissioners are required to fill out an annual economic interest report to the Fair Political Practices Commission. It's due by April 2nd. If you haven't done so, please return them to Rosie. Even if you file one for your locally elected position, you still have to file one with MTC. So please be sure to get those in so we can continue to see you at our meetings, not behind doors. Okay. Consent calendar, item number 6. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar? Executive Director, I'm sorry, Steve. You went right past you.
I already met with him this morning, Madam Chair.
I guess I'd have enough of him.
You have to give me a chance to get back at Commissioner Green here. One thing is there's no value on it, Commissioner, so maybe that makes it feel a little better.
Oh.
But it is our first foray into commemorative cards. And smart card programs around the world do those sorts of things quite frequently. I would expect the next one will probably be the America's Cup next year. So you should expect to see more programs like this. I guess for Commissioner Green especially, three Warriors players and the Warriors head coach will be handing out cards with value on Thursday afternoon, tomorrow, at the Berkeley BART station. So be there or be square. Back to my report. On the front page, you noted Albert's retirement. We've hired three people, I guess, to take his place. So that says something about Albert. Three for one. On events, I'll mention just a few. The first is the SMART groundbreaking in Petaluma, where Commissioner McKenzie and I made some brief remarks. And I have to say it was one of the most upbeat groundbreaking ceremonies I've ever attended. They're usually upbeat anyway, but this one was just floating on a sea of good feeling. And I think given where that train and that proposal has been the last few years, I can understand why. I think it's also worth noting that what SMART is trying to do is really build and operate a rail system largely with their own money. And that's not something we've done in the Bay Area really since the BART system was constructed in the 60s and 70s. And so I think they're to be commended for that, and they are now off to the races. On page two, I mention our annual legislative trip to Washington, in fact, our 33rd annual trip, which featured a small group of commissioners and staff. The highlight of the trip, I think, was the fact that while we were there, the Senate actually passed their reauthorization bill, and that was by a very substantial bipartisan margin of 74 to 22. That's the bill that was principally co-authored by one of our senators, Senator Boxer, who chairs the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. It's I think, an important step forward in what I would call the reform agenda in Washington, although the reforms, I think, are tempered by the fact that they had to reach bipartisan agreement before they put anything in the bill. So I think that means the bill didn't move very far in any particular direction. In the House, unfortunately, really no clear direction has emerged yet. The House Transportation Committee marked up a bill that even the Republican majority could not stomach on the House floor. There have been a series of trial balloons floated by the Speaker of the House. None of them have been sufficient to garner a majority of votes from members of his party. And the notion of taking up some form of the Democratic and Republican-sponsored Senate bill doesn't really seem to be gaining any traction. So what the House is in the process of doing today, in fact, is voting on punting for three more months with another extension. This would be the ninth extension of current law, which expires at the end of this week, in fact. And as with any extension, there, right at the last minute, there is always the chance, either through inadvertence or intentionally, for the extension not to happen. In this case, if the House passes the extension, it will probably have to be with all Republican votes. The Democrats have indicated that, look, the Senate passed a bill, let's pass that bill. The Republicans, I think, don't have an interest in doing that. Even if the House can pass an extension, it's not a sure thing that the Senate will, because that will require unanimous consent in that body, which means one senator can gum up the works. So it's not just, by the way, the program that expires at the end of the week. It's the gas tax as well. So everything comes to a crashing halt unless they do extend it. Let's certainly hope they do, because there really is no time in just a week's time to pass an authorization bill. I think a lot of people, myself included, expect that they'll have to be extending the current program past the election to really get things done. At the bottom of the page, I'll mention the Toll Bridge Program Oversight Committee, which I chair and which released findings late last week by the Seismic Safety Peer Review Panel, confirming the integrity of the tower foundation for our new east span. As you'll recall, that issue was brought into question by the disclosure that a Caltrans materials technician had falsified test results on other bridges. The same guy worked on the Bay Bridge, and the peer review panel found that not only was there no evidence that he had done such falsifying on our bridge, but there was more than adequate redundancy in the design and the construction of the tower foundation that even if he had, we would be okay. The peer review panel will now turn its attention to the other two major toll bridge projects that the same technician worked on. Unfortunately, there are more. They are the Bay Bridge West Approach Project and the new Benicia Martinez Bridge. You may have noted some news coverage in the last few days. Unfortunately, the Sacramento Bee is sort of engaged in shooting the messenger because they are now alleging, news reports originating from that paper are alleging that the peer review panel has a series of conflict of interests, that they're not truly independent, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess that will now be the subject of a hearing before the Senate Transportation Committee in the near future, we learned yesterday. There is actually some good news about the bridge, so let me end on that, and that is that the cable hauling operation, and the cable, I think, is now quite visible with the naked eye from the existing bridge, is about a month and a half ahead of schedule, even with the weather we've been having. So that's certainly good news as we try to meet or beat our announced date of opening the bridge Labor Day 2013. And let me conclude just with the map of the month, which is over there behind Rosie. And this one's a little bit complicated to explain, but I'll try to be brief about it. It's analysis from the Center for Neighborhood Technology, which has done work for us. They look at the cost of housing as a percent of income and the cost of transportation as a percent of income, and then the combined cost of those two things. And the news here is that when you look at the percent of income, the cost of housing alone as the percent of income, only three Bay Area counties are sort of worse than average, you might say. When you add in the transportation cost, it ups to five counties are worse than average. So, again, it highlights, I think, the importance of the fact that when you add those two things together, you really highlight the burden that is placed on households, especially, obviously, households of lower income, to deal with those twin problems in the Bay Area that our Planned Bay Area work is trying to address, the cost of transportation as well as the cost of housing. And let me conclude, Madam Chair, just by reminding everybody, I know Commissioner Wirth will be welcoming the California Transportation Commission to Orinda today when they convene, but they'll also be having a little reception over at our original home at the Claremont Hotel this evening. So you're all certainly welcome to attend that. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Steve. Any comments for Steve? Any questions? Yes, Mr. McKenzie.
Again, thank you, Steve, for bringing up the SMART groundbreaking ceremony. And it's certainly true what you said, that we anticipate that a lot of the funding will come from local sources, but not all of it. I would not want to leave the impression that everything is just peachy keen and complete in the world of SMART, but it was a grand day, and it was a beautiful day, and Heminger and I spoke briefly, both of us, much to the audience's surprise, at least as far as I was concerned. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Okay, seeing none, let me go back now to the consent calendar. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion passes. We're now at our committee reports, program and allocation. Commissioner Glover.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Programs Allocation Committee met on March 7th, and I have two items before you today for action. MTC Resolution 3914 revised approves the allocation of $14.3 million and AB 1171 funds for right-of-way acquisition on the I-80, 680, 12 interchange Phase 1 project, and rescinds $3.8 million in AB 1171 funds for the I-80 Cordelia truck scale relocation project due to construct award savings. I approve MTC Resolution 3914 revised.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we need a roll call on this for the resolution? No? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that's approved.
Next item, Madam Chair, is MTC Resolutions 3925 revised and 4038 revised. Advances $34 million in STPCMAQ funds for the Doyle Drive Presidio Parkway project to be repaid by future San Francisco RTIP funds, and revises the 2012 RTIP to lower the program amount by an equivalent amount. This action is contingent on a parallel funding commitment of approximately $10 million each being made by Caltrans and the San Francisco County Transportation Authority. The committee raised questions about the allocations of the project contingency in the event it is not required to complete construction. Caltrans staff is here to answer any questions to the commission, if it may there be any. I would move approval of MTC Resolution 3925 revised and 4038 revised.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the item? Yes,
I
Mr.
hope so.
Well, your light's not on. Mr. Lepardo?
Okay, I saw Steve reaching for his side.
Okay. Steve, do you want to comment before the commissioners?
Yeah, I'll just beat Commissioner Haggerty to the punch. Just a recall for those of you who weren't at the committee meeting, the question arose, what we're doing here is contributing a pretty significant sum of money, $54 million in its entirety. $34 million of that is money coming from us that eventually gets returned in a future year, let me just say. The question arose, is there a contingency for the Phase 2 work, which will be subject to this public-private partnership? And if so, and if that contingency is not fully employed, could that be a source of funds to help pay back some of the folks who were contributing these funds to bail out the project now? Do I have that? Is that a fair summary, Commissioner?
Moving right along.
So, Kome Ejise is here from Caltrans, so we invite him to take a place at the hot seat. You just need to press the button.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners. Kome Ejise is my name. I'm the P3 Program Manager for Caltrans, and I'd be glad to take any questions. I think the what had been presented to me as the larger question being asked is whether or not the what we call the risk reserve for the P3 project would be available for refunds to participants and funding of the project. Honestly, the department cannot do that. We don't have the authority to refund it. It's entirely up to the CTC in terms of how SHUP funds can be reallocated. I think it's an action that's obviously open to play at the point when we're done with the project. If in fact there's reserves left over, That's an action that can be brought to the commission for them to deal with. But from the perspective of the department, we're not in a position to answer that question, I think, to your satisfaction as to returning money to people that participated.
I guess. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Haggerty, go ahead.
Thank
Mr.
Ricardo. I can wait.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess the answer hasn't been satisfactorily answered. My question would be then, if this is a P3, and essentially, as I understand it, the contractor's going to come in, he's going to do the work, and whatever's left over at the end, they get to keep. And
no, that's not the case.
Okay, then explain it, because that's the way we discussed it in the committee meeting last time, and it was explained to us that, you know, all this will become part of what the contractor gets.
No, that's not the case. The funding, the public side funding for the project, was established long before the P3 authorization legislation was even in place. So the monies that we have on the project were already in place with intent that we were going to build the project sequentially in phases through time with this fund sources. When the P3 program was established, the resources that were SHOP resources that we had on the project were deemed to be set aside because over the next 30 years, the state highway account, which is the source for the SHOP, will be paying the availability payments to the tune of about $1 billion. And so because of that, basically the SHOP was set aside mostly to reserve itself to make those kinds of payments over time. Now, out of the SHOP program on the project, $47 million was set aside as a risk reserve, which we had estimated to be the potential risk assessed on the project over through construction, that we would have that amount of money available to make payments that are obligations of the state during the process of getting the project done. So that risk reserve was set aside. To the extent that those risks manifest themselves, will have the capacity to make those payments out of the risk reserve. If the risks do not manifest themselves, the money remains in the state highway account and ultimately becomes part of that billion-dollar program that pays for the project over 30 years. So the money does not go to the contractor. It stays in the state highway account and allows us to then make those payments over the 30-year period.
I apologize, Steve. I'm really trying to understand this. And as I now hear it, we're putting up money that when it's all said and done, maybe our money could or could not have been used, and it'll just now revert to Caltrans. That's as I'm hearing the explanation now.
Commissioner, if I could just ask Kome one question in front of all of us,
sure.
And then maybe try to give you an answer, too. Kome, the risk reserve is $47 million.
Yes.
And are you deducting $10 million from that to make the contribution to this funding plan?
We did not deduct $10 million. The commission decided to do that because the commission knows that if, in fact, we need more money, we're going to come back to them.
So the current balance is $37
million. The current balance is $37 million.
Okay.
Our need is going to be $47 million, maybe a little bit north of that. And we know that because we've done a risk assessment that suggests that we do, in fact, need at least $47 million.
Well, and, Commissioner, if I could say to you, you know, the risk register that he's referring to, I mean, it's something we're familiar with because we actually pioneered it in the Bay Bridge and the Toll Bridge construction program. And the thing is, with a risk number, you try to manage and avoid spending the money. You don't necessarily have to spend it all. So in my view, there would still be the possibility of some balance of this amount, which is now $37 million, being retained at the end of the project. And I think the question you're raising is, shouldn't the folks who are contributing in this funding plan be able to proportionately share in that balance if it exists?
Right.
I think it's likely that it's not going to be $37 million. It's going to diminish over time.
Well, and I should also point out, it's also very likely that it will be over the $47 million amount. And that's the risk that the state highway account holds. Because our assessment is that our risk right now, when we did the assessment to set up the risk reserve, it was 2 years ago. We refreshed that analysis over time. Now, while most of the information in the risk assessment is confidential because we don't want the other side to know what we have, so it's not gamed, our sense today in our refresh is that our risk analysis actually shows that it's a range of between $48 and $52 million. So we know from our experience in the phase one construction that there's some risks that will obviously manifest themselves, and so some of that money will obviously be spent. It is very possible that we don't use up the $47 million, but it's also very likely that we could come back and request CTC to give us to do a supplemental funding for that risk that we're working on.
So did Caltrans do the original engineer's estimate on this project?
Well, the way the P3 was bid, we did the indicative design work on it with the San Francisco Transmission Authority staff. But the bid itself is really entirely up to the developer.
Okay. So, Madam Chair, I'm not going to continue to beat this horse, but I did want to say, though, I don't know why we just don't, like, pledge an amount as opposed to transfer the money, and then we would give when needed, as opposed to just transferring the money and hoping that, you know, when it's all said and done, the money, there's some money left over and the agencies involved will split it out proportionately.
If I can add one more thing to that, the way the P3 is set up, there is a milestone payment. It's a set amount of money, and that's where these funds are going into. That amount is now part of the credit on the project, and so it's a basis for all of the assessments that are done by the credit rating agencies, by the federal government. And so that amount is set. It's separate from the risk reserve, which is what we hold, and it's also separate from the availability payment over 30 years, which we are obligated for. We, being the department, are obligated for over 30 years. So the amount is not one that can be flexible, because I think part of the deal in setting up the funding on this project is that the state basically is holding the risk of cost overrun for the rest of time, over a 30-year period. And that all of the participants, the funding partners up front, have a set amount, and that amount is set. Most of those monies are put in the milestone payment. So if, in fact, we hit a higher risk, if the risk comes in at $52 million or $60 million, we don't get to come back to you to ask for it. So that's part of the setup in this program right now.
Well, I guess I'll feel better if that happens.
Okay, Mr. Liccardo, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I have a different question on the same project, which is the advance of the RTIP. My understanding is San Francisco's sort of maxing the credit card on RTIP funding with $14 million to be repaid with future allocations. And I know on the next item we're going to contemplate certainly a major MOU in which of the $60 million share that would be coming from San Francisco County, $37 million would come from RTIP. And I'm trying to understand where the bottom is to this pit. And I'm hoping, Steve, you might be able to help me understand if they're already using everything they've got and then some with this item, where does the other $37 million come from?
Well, Commissioner, the RTIP is perpetual. So the question is not when will we get the money, not if we get the money, but when. And here's the order of priority, okay? San Francisco's STIP share, first priority is this project. Second priority is the Central Subway, which is going to take money for years. Third priority is paying back this advance. The fourth priority is the next item.
So I know that there, and I guess we can discuss this more in greater detail when the next item comes up. That'll probably be more appropriate. But I'm concerned both about the magnitude of that amount, the $37 million, and the fact that my understanding is there is an agreement among all the participating counties that we're all in or we're not in at all.
Well, and I think you're probably referring to a notation in the funding table for the next item,
right,
that talks about San Francisco's $60 million local contribution to the electrification and train control program coming from $23 million of sales tax. That's existing money.
Right.
And then the balance coming from some combination of RTIP, I think, slash local slash other. I don't think RTIP is the place we need to get it in
okay.
the time frame of these improvements. And so I think that probably ought to be the nature of your conversation in the next item.
Sure, I'll raise that then in greater depth in the next item. If I could just one other question, just relating to the what is here. And I understand this has probably been allocated in a prior session, but I understand that the bike ped connectivity on the East Bay Bridge is a regional project of some sort for bike ped improvements. And Santa Clara County is contributing $3.6 million. I think all the counties are contributing to this. But I think we would strain our imagination to imagine how residents in Napa or Santa Clara County will be taking advantage of this regional transportation priority. I'm just trying to understand what the criteria is used for defining what sort of mandatory regional projects we're all going to be kicking in on the RTIP funding for that's separate from our own county's priorities.
Commissioner Liccardo, Alex Bockelman, Director of Programming Allocations. When we brought that to the commission, the discussion really was with this contribution from the whole region, we are actually able to leverage an equal investment from the state through their state ITIP of $15 million. So that was really the nature of the discussion with the counties, which we did have it with the individual counties as well as here at the Programming Committee. So our recommendation was that, you know, there is a regional nature to it and that being able to leverage an equal investment from the state, which we're not often able to do on T projects, our recommendation was approving that contribution from the counties.
Right. So, and I'm not saying, and the project I'm sure is a great project. I'm not saying it's not worth funding. I'm just trying to understand why it's a regional project subject to the mandatory regional formula. Just because we're leveraging state money, I mean, that's true in many projects. What makes it regional worthy? That's what I'm trying to understand. How do you distinguish that from all the other projects where we leverage state money for all kinds of local projects, for instance?
I think that it actually is more rare to leverage ITIP funding, so I think that was one reason, and sort of just being able to have sort of this bike access to the bridge that, you know, many parts of the Bay, you know, will take advantage of. There wasn't a specific criteria. It was more about being able to leverage the investment from the state.
Okay. All right, well, look forward to continuing this conversation more offline.
Commissioner, I think, to be frank, it's an oddball project. It does connect two counties, just for starters. And the Bay Bridge is obviously, if that's not a regional facility, I don't know what a regional facility is. So the advantage we're taking here is that we can leverage state funds to make the impact bigger. But it's not a typical enhancement project by any stretch of the imagination, and it is a large sum of money.
All right. I look forward to continuing the conversation. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
If I could suggest, I was just having a conversation with Comey back to the line of questioning Commissioner Haggerty's pursuing. What we're asking you to do today with this $34 million is to program it to this project. And as Comey indicated, it's going to be spent on a milestone payment. That milestone payment's going to happen at the end of construction. So we're going to know how much of this risk money has been spent and how much hasn't. So what I would suggest as a possible path forward on this question is you could add a condition to the resolution that says the full $34 million is programmed and, if needed, is fully available. But if it's not needed, if something less than $34 is needed, that we'll be making a claim to the California Transportation Commission for our proportionate share of any savings to be returned to the commission for further programming.
I would guess then at that point move the item with that condition added to it. spoken as I won't try to redo the condition because it was.
Well, and look, I was trying to be careful to say, as Comey said, look, we can't get it from him because he doesn't have it. We've got to get it from the CTC. And they don't necessarily have to play ball. But, you know, I think Alex can certainly mention the fresh news to them today when they convene and to lay down the expectation that, look, we've got MTC, San Francisco Transportation Authority, and Caltrans coming to the table here. And I think it's fair that if we end up with some savings, those three parties ought to share in the blessings.
Well, I'd like to move that, Steve, just as long as we're not on the hook if they go over the amount.
Okay, we had a motion. So are you willing to amend your motion, Mr. Glover?
I'm sorry, I didn't know there was a motion.
There was.
Yes, there
was.
We will amend the motion.
Okay, to the condition that Steve just spelled out for us. Okay. And the
second.
And second. Okay, we have a motion and a second with that condition added.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Scott.
It's okay. First of all, I just want to thank staff for working so hard with the SFCTA on moving this forward, and sort of also in the context of Commissioner Liccardo's remarks about the Bay Bridge bike project. There's really, it's hard, there are very few projects that are truly in all nine counties, but when you have multi-county projects that connect the county, including for people who are using it potentially from all over the Bay Area, I think regional actually has a pretty broad definition. And, you know, Doyle Drive, even though it's sometimes described as a San Francisco project, I don't have the data. I suspect if we evaluated the percentage of vehicles from the North Bay that are using Doyle Drive, I suspect that it's quite high. Doyle Drive is a very, very regional project, very important project, and I'm very appreciative of folks' support for making sure that it happens and that we have a safe passageway for the many, many, many vehicles regionally that use this arterial.
Thank you, Commissioner Weiner. Any other comments before we take the vote? Okay, we have a motion and a second with that condition added. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, that item passes.
Madam?
Yes. Please.
Madam Chair, also before the committee was MTC Resolution 4057 establishing an MOU for high-speed rail early investment strategy, and I'm going to ask that Randy Ratchler would present this item.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioners, Randy Ratchler with my colleague Alex Bachelman here to go through some of the details of this next item. Before I get into the subject in detail, I just want to make sure you know at your place what you have. There's a memo that I'm going to be working off of. Attached to it is a resolution that we'll eventually get to and request your approval of. There's also the draft MOU itself that we're recommending that you approve, which also lists the parties who are going to be party to it. It also includes a funding plan, which you just had a little bit of a discussion on a minute ago. And if you want to draw your attention to the notes of that funding plan as well, that would probably be useful at some point. Also attached is some fact sheets that more clearly describe what the two projects that we're recommending funding at this juncture are, which is an electrification and an advanced train control project. So that's kind of a little bit of what you have before you. Also, this action has generated a little bit of mail to us, and the pink item for you is some of the letters we've received. We expect to get more. I think we've even got more today, but that's what that is for you. So kind of jumping into it here a little bit. First of all, for context, the Commission has been involved with high-speed rail for many, many years, well before the voters voted in 2008 to pass Proposition 1A. The Commission was involved in many discussions with high-speed rail, including the proposed alignment that was eventually approved on by the voters. Subsequent to that, and more recently in 2009, the Commission got involved in a San Francisco Silicon Valley Corridor investment strategy, which we kind of gussied up into this document. Our partner agencies, many of which are included on this MOU, City of San Jose, San Francisco, Joint Powers Authority, Caltrain, High Speed Rail, the San Francisco TA, amongst others, were part of this as well. And one of the outcomes of this was to seek, at that time, the the stimulus funds that were coming from Washington, D.C., and we ended up being successful in getting $400 million to help construct the train, what we call the train box, but basically the foundation of the Transbay Terminal. So the engagement the Commission's had with high-speed rail has paid a lot of dividends over the past many years, which kind of leads us to this item. As you are aware, high-speed rail has kind of made the news over the last couple of years, trying to figure out exactly what plan they want to move forward with. It included some considerations, what we call the bookend projects, which are in the San Francisco Bay Area and in the L.A. Basin, but also the big piece in the Central Valley. And so there's been a lot of discussion about that that's made the papers. And in recent months, California High-Speed Rail has re-looked at their business plan and refocused on what are called the bookends. What can we do where the people live, where we can get immediate benefit for the funds that are available through Proposition 1A? Our friends down in the L.A. Basin kind of beat us to the punch, which was a good thing, in that they proposed an MOU with California High-Speed Rail a little bit earlier this year. The officials at California High-Speed Rail began to engage us in detail rather recently, and at your March 7th meeting at the Programming and Allocations, we kind of gave you a sense that this item was moving quickly and we were going to bring it to the Commission directly for your consideration and action, and that's what's before you today. Over the past month or so, we've been working hard with our partner agencies to try to strike a bargain that focuses on a long-term vision of what the Peninsula Corridor is going to look like. And so what we've done in this MOU is to identify and to describe a series of interrelated projects that we need in order to have a healthy Caltrain, but also to prepare that corridor, which could likely be a significant strategic investment on the peninsula that hopefully maintains the thing the peninsula's had going for many, many years, which is a vibrant economy anchored in significant investments. Those projects, which I'm going to read to you real quick, include a corridor electrification project, an advanced signal system project, also commonly known as positive train control, an extension of the service to the Transbay Transit Center, which is, of course, the Prop 1A designation of the northern terminus of high-speed rail, a new high-speed rail station at the Dearden station in San Jose, plus an intermodal station at Millbrae connecting the San Francisco International Airport. And there's also a core capacity series of projects needed on the peninsula, which can include all sorts of track upgrades, stations, tunnels, many of the things that we've actually been doing for the past 20 years, but now we have a partner in the state to help us get this thing done. Specifically, this item, this MOU, identifies two of those projects as the items that we're seeking to engage with California High-Speed Rail on now with a funding plan to deliver projects, not a plan for the future, but a specific funding plan of real money to deliver these projects in the meantime. And these two projects are to electrify the corridor and to purchase new rolling stock that will essentially transform the Caltrain from its traditional service of an engine pulling cars that's been around since the mid-1800s to a modern railroad that can allow Caltrain to offer a much more flexible and meaningful service on the peninsula. This is a significant change. This item has been before the commission before as well, and also before the voters. The voters in both Santa Clara and San Mateo County have passed specifically an electrification item as part of a sales tax measure in those two counties. So this has had broad public support here on the commission. Back in 2001, in Resolution 3434, electrification and new train cars was included then, along with projects that many of you know in your own districts, such as the extension of the Central Subway in San Francisco, the Warm Springs extension, BART to San Jose, EBART, and other projects were part of this major transit expansion policy adopted by the Commission in 2001. So that's kind of the sense of where we are and how we got here. This is kind of an important moment, I believe. It's been a long time. We've been talking about electrifying this corridor. This is a real opportunity to have a partner in the state to get it done. The funding plan matters, and my partner Alex has been working hard on this, so I'm going to turn it over to her.
Thank you, Randy. As Randy noted, the $1.5 billion funding commitment represents a significant investment in the future of high-speed rail in the Peninsula Corridor. So I just want to highlight a few key points of the funding plan. Most notably, the plan seeks to leverage approximately half of the funding, or just over $700 million, through the state Proposition 1A high-speed rail and connectivity funds. These funds require a one-for-one match from non-state funds, and this funding plan slightly exceeds the match requirement at approximately $720 million. The remaining $750 million in funds, including the match that I just spoke of, are comprised of a mix of sales tax, Proposition 1B transit bond funds, Federal Transit Administration formula funds, bridge toll funds, and air district funds. The funding plan includes a strong commitment by the JPB member agencies through sales tax, Proposition 1A connectivity funds, and Proposition 1B transit and state-local partnership funds of nearly $290 million. Of the matching funds included in the proposal, MTC would be responsible for programming roughly $480 million. The bulk of this would come from FTA formula funds, and I want to give you a little bit more information about that. Specifically, about $340 million would be used to procure the electric multiple units that would be used on the electrified rail line. This is consistent with the most recent 10-year capital plan that the region has for replacing its transit assets. That plan had anticipated using FTA formula funds to replace the Caltrain cars. Another $125 million in future FTA formula funds that would have been dedicated to Caltrain's fixed guideway state of repair projects is proposed to be dedicated to the signal and system upgrades that are part of this blended strategy. And that would occur roughly over, those funds are available roughly over the next decade. Finally, $11 million in Regional Measure 1 West Bay Rail toll funds that are currently unassigned to any projects are proposed to be part of the MTC contribution. The funding plan also identifies some potential future sources that, if were available in the future, could substitute for some fund sources. Those include the federal competitive program, the TIGER, which is, I think, on later on your agenda today, and state ITIP funds. Because the current action is a policy-level commitment, staff would return to the Commission with more specific programming actions as the funds are needed for the projects and as the funds are available. So that concludes our presentation. Randy and I would be glad to answer any questions, and we are asking today that the Commission approve MTC Resolution 4056, which, as Randy noted, sets forth the MOU as well as the funding strategy.
Okay, I'm going to start this in. Campos, followed by Commissioner Liccardo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the presentation, for the work that's gone into this. Just for the record, I'm trying to you can just state what the MOU says. As Alex indicated, it's a policy-level commitment that we're talking about in terms of what this MOU is about. But what does it say exactly about the downtown extension to the Transbay Transit Center?
This policy document really starts to articulate a future that I guess I could say starts now. I mean, there's always been a debate about which things should go first and which things should be included. And I think when it comes to the extension of the service to downtown San Francisco, I think the most important thing that this says is this is a key feature of a vision for the peninsula. Now, it's not going to come right now in this action. We don't have a funding plan for it right now. But it is a commitment to get to San Francisco, just like it's a commitment to make sure that the Dearden Station is modernized for high-speed rail and that the line itself can be modernized to get to San Francisco. I think the key thing that we were focused on is to present to high-speed rail a vision that can be acted on today, but also brings us to the connection of the L.A. Basin to downtown San Francisco on a one-seat service that a Caltrain and a high-speed rail rider can achieve what the voters envisioned in 2008.
Thank you. If I may, just following up on that, to the extent that the MOU does not identify specific funding for the downtown extension, what is your response to those who have, you know, raised concerns about the level of commitment to it, given that, in fact, you know, there is no funding identified in the MOU?
Commissioner, I think in the case of this MOU and what we're trying to achieve today, I think in a perfect world, what we would prefer is more of a high-speed rail focus on what we call the bookends, both in the San Francisco Bay Area but also in the L.A. Basin. Given the fund sources that we have, our goal is to provide a foundational aspect so we can achieve these future policy actions. For example, getting to downtown San Francisco is going to require that the system be electrified. To get to downtown San Francisco will require that we have a safe train control system upon it. As far as our ability here in this document to commit further to any of these projects, be it the downtown extension or to be at a Millbrae station, that's work that we're seeking to do, not here today, but to prepare us to take an action into a future time.
And can you elaborate a little bit more as to why you're seeking to do that work down the road as opposed to now, and what the timing of when that work would be completed?
Look, I know this sounds a little bit compartmentalized, but with respect to our ability to fund a project of any significance, would need a partnership with California High Speed Rail and funding available from them. One of the great benefits of this is the Bay Area is getting electrification at 50 cents on the dollar because we have a partner in Sacramento. But I'll tell you this, they've got a great partner in us. You know, Fresno is not coming to the table with 50 cents on the dollar to help build things for high-speed rail, so we kind of have a good partnership with both of us. But that partnership means that we both have to have the money on the barrel to do it. And currently, right now, high-speed rail is not making that level of funding available to us for an extension to downtown San Francisco. And furthermore, I don't know, we have that kind of money to match it.
So just a final question in terms of the timing of when we're going to come back to these issues, what's the expected timing of that?
With respect to the high-speed rail portion of it, I think we're looking significantly down into the future. You know, as far as our other planning aspects, it's hard to say when we're going to have that conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just to pick up where we left off, Steve, I appreciated your articulation. That it seems as though we've got sort of a fourth lien on the RTIP funding in San Francisco County, and I'm sure they're good for it. But I think there's been a concern in Santa Clara County that we're the only agency or the only county committing Prop 1A connectivity funding as well. I recognize Caltrain and BART are also contributing. But Santa Clara County, BTA, is contributing its share, unlike its partner counties, which are all in equally on the $60 million, but not on the connectivity funding. And what I'd like to offer is a motion that would incorporate an amendment, and it would be a minor amendment in the funding planning notes that would make each agency's contribution, including the Prop 1A connectivity funding, to be contingent on the $60 million contribution from all partners. And I think that way everyone could feel good about moving forward together, recognizing although Santa Clara County is contributing more funding, at least we will do so, recognizing everybody will fulfill their $60 million commitment. That would be my motion.
I'll second that. Thank you. First of all, I want to thank staff for working incredibly hard on putting this together. This is truly like a herding cats, and this is a very, very important step forward. Just a few months ago, this was threatening to just come off the tracks, not this MOU, but high-speed rail. I know we had a we convened a meeting at San Francisco City Hall to just sort of make sure that, you know, we were getting it back on track, and MTC staff immediately engaged, and we all started working together to move forward. To be very, very clear, that high-speed rail from Diridon to Transbay is going to happen in the Bay Area, period, end of story, and that we will eventually hook up to the statewide high-speed rail system. And as I've said at these meetings before, when you don't think big about major transportation projects, you end up with a BART system, which should have been about double the size that it is now. But we were timid in decades past, and we need to not be timid again. And obviously, I would love it if we had all the funding in a lockbox for the downtown extension, for Diridon, for everything else. But what this MOU does is it sends a very strong regional message that we're speaking with one voice, that we agree that this is going, that this entire project is going to happen. Obviously, it has to be phased. Caltrain electrification, that is the spine of the system, and it makes sense for it to go first. It's a very, very basic building block for allowing this to happen in the future. And I know that we're going to make the rest of the system happen so that we go from Diridon to Transbay. So I strongly support this MOU as amended, and I think Commissioner Liccardo's amendment is very reasonable, and I'll be voting that way today. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just two quick, maybe three. First of all, in the staff report, I think it mentions about a $10 million match from Carl Moyer funds. I'm sorry, $20 million, not match, but $20 million contribution from the Carl Moyer funds. But then as you read the staff report and you get down into the funding, it says that those funds still need to be confirmed. Can you explain that a little bit?
Commissioner, in the past, the Air District has contributed funding for a whole host of clean air projects, including diesel retrofit on trucks and on boats on the bay and all sorts of things. You know, at its core, this is a kind of a diesel replacement. It gets rid of the dirty diesel and replaces it with electricity on the peninsula. So we've contacted the Air District and asked them if this is a reasonable expectation, and I think this is a reasonable expectation, but it also represents funding that we have to go get, too. So this funding plan is pretty tight in many respects, but it's got a few projects or a few elements that we have to still go get, and this is part of the money that we have to go get. We think we're going to have a pretty fair chance at it.
I chair the committee.
Yeah, yes, you do.
I just want to look over to Gene Rogenkamp, who's here. Is this an appropriate use of Carl Moyer funds? I mean, I realize the intent
Morning,
of
Commissioners.
Carl Moyer.
Yeah, it is an eligible type of project. It would need to come before the Air District Mobile Source Committee and the board for approval if the money were to be awarded to the project, but it is an eligible type of project.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then one of the things in reading the staff – thank you, Gene. I appreciate that. One of the things in reading the staff report, it doesn't give me any – I'm sure for those that are on the peninsula are aware of this, but I am not because I focus more on BART to Livermore right now these days. What is the speed? I mean, what is the time advantage here that we're looking for?
I have some friends from Caltrain here that can probably get into the issue in more detail, so I'm gonna invite them up. While they're getting here, I think there are a few things to keep in mind.
Nobody's getting up, Randy.
What's that?
So you may be talking a while.
There they go. Jeez, you know, just let me hang here. When it comes to electrification, I think there's a couple of different things that matter. One thing is quickness, and the other is speed. So electrification allows the trains to accelerate and decelerate quicker, allows a more flexible service. As far as the speed on the peninsula goes, that's really about safety issues and grade crossing. So, Mayor, please.
Mr. Spearing would like to ask that so you can answer a couple questions for him, if that's okay.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
On the same issue?
Similar.
No, if we're going to hear from proponents, I have a question on the at-grade crossings. I mean, is this an issue or is it not? You know, as we portray this corridor, this high-speed corridor right into San Francisco, I understand there's over 50 at-grade crossings. And is this an issue for what we're trying to do? It just seems like, we may be squandering an opportunity to deal with that issue at the same time. But I would just like to hear from someone. If that's not an issue, then I don't have another question.
Well, I'll take a crack at it in a general sense, and I'm sure Mayor will fill in some of the details. As everyone knows, the train was there in the 1860s, and since that time, a significant urban environment has been built around it. Commissioner Spearing, you're right. There is at least 50 or more grade crossings. The voters in San Mateo County voted it with a two-thirds vote to help fund many of those grade crossings. And what that means in many cases, commissioners, is to separate physically the train tracks from the cars. Sometimes that means the cars go over the top. Sometimes it means the cars go underneath. And there's no doubt that the issue of crossing the tracks is a big issue, not just for residents, but for public safety as well. Fire and ambulance services need some sort of ability to get around the community. So there's no doubt that the issue of how the train interacts with the community has been a longstanding and substantive issue on the peninsula for many years. What we've tried to do here today is to try to solve the problems that we can solve, to present a series of projects that we know that has been supported by a broad range of the community in the past, knowing that an incremental investment on the peninsula is going to include a look at grade crossings in the future. American talk about the study they're doing now. So it has been a longstanding issue. It will continue to be a longstanding issue. But I think we have a program here that helps advance the train, advance high-speed rail, knowing that grade crossings has been around for a while.
Go ahead.
Randy, you're raising my very concern. It's something that has not been resolved for a long period of time, and it seems like if we had an opportunity to help accelerate some of those decisions, we need to take advantage of that, and it looks like we're not doing that. And so we could very likely have that whole corridor electrified and not even have those crossings dealt with. And so I just wanted to raise that issue, but it seemed like nobody was talking about that.
Marion, do you want to go ahead? This is Marion Lee from JPB.
Just some factual information. So first, regarding the speed, with the early investment project, we will be operating the trains the same as our current speed, which is up to 79 miles per hour. However, what the performance attributes of the electrified system and the vehicles bring us, as Randy mentioned, is the ability to stop and go faster because the vehicles are lighter. What that allows us to do is either reduce our overall travel time or to actually serve more stations or to do a little bit of both. So while the overall speed bracket does not increase, there are travel time benefits as well as more frequent service to stations. Regarding the at-grade crossings, we have 40 at-grade crossings in our approximately 50-mile corridor. And today we have a environmental document that was complete, a federal and a state environmental document. It is federally cleared and short of state certification. However, it is a final document. And in that study, it looked at our electrification project at 35% design with these speeds, and it does not indicate that we need to have grade separations. We will need to do some grade rail crossing upgrades, but they do not need to be grade separated. I will, however, add this, which is the document is several years old, and the local cities have asked to have that reevaluated, and so we will do that. And I think there are two points to be made as we are reevaluating that work. One is the capabilities of our advanced signal system, which is known as PTC. It will give us technology capabilities where the train, where the gate downtime will actually improve from what it is today. So we believe that that's another factor that will help with the grade separations. The second point that I do want to make is short of a need, there is absolutely a local desire by many cities to have grade separations. It is our intent to continue to work with MTC and find whatever funding sources there may be available to advance those grade separations. Especially, it's important to all counties, but especially in San Mateo County, there are local sales tax dollars ready to match and leverage whatever funding opportunities may be available. So it's with those things in place, and it's with that understanding that we're moving forward, that we'd like to move forward with the early investment project.
Thank you, Marion. Mr. Hagerty, did you have some
questions? Just one last quick question, and I apologize because we don't have the environmental impact report in front of us. Yeah, one of the things when I look at these projects is not so much about the speed, although I do understand that, you know, the acceleration, deceleration is much more improved with the electrification. Can you talk to me just a little bit about the air quality impacts, meaning that my assumption is your environmental impact report shows that people be breathing less dirty diesel, that kind of stuff. So just briefly, if you could.
Yeah, I have a one-sentencer because it's not my expertise area, but there will be a 90% reduction in emissions.
Okay. Can I get at some point a more detailed discussion as to the air quality advantages? Absolutely. Because this is certainly speaks to why I believe other electrified projects need to happen, because it is a reduction in air quality. And a lot of times when we're talking about electrified rail, we never get around to the health impacts of the people that we represent.
Okay. Commissioner Campos and Commissioner Green.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just following up on the previous exchange, I do want to thank SNAP for the work they've done. I think that it's fair to say that there are a number of us, certainly in San Francisco, who feel that the document doesn't go far enough in some areas, certainly around the downtown extension. But I am going to support the MOU. I think it's a step in a right direction, and I know that a lot of progress has been made. And I just think it's important for us to make sure that we come back to some of the issues that remain where we need more specificity. But I think that this is a very positive move forward, and so I will be supporting it today.
Commissioner Green. And then we have quite a few cards, by the way, just so you know.
Following up with what Jim was talking about, and I heard that you have, 40 Marion crossings. Is there a gross amount of dollars how many billions or hundreds of millions or whatever the number is? What is that amount? Is there any estimation as to what that amount is to actually get rid of all 40? Because I do think that, again, if you're talking with, you know, what Scott said earlier, if you're thinking big here, at some point you are going to need to get great separations there if you truly want high-speed rail to be flying up and down there. So is there an overall amount of what those 40 grade separations, what that amount of money actually is?
Can I do a qualifier before I say it's a lot of money? Because it's a lot of money. The qualifier that I like to put in is, completely grade separated system is desired on many fronts, and the challenge that we have that we're trying to figure out, and this is beyond the early investment project. As we get into developing a blended system that's going to support both high-speed rail and Caltrain trains, the max speed that we are studying is up to 110, which if it made sense, we would do when high-speed rail got here. And short of having speeds at 125 miles per hour, there's only one regulation that dictates a grade separation, and that's a FRA regulation saying if you go over 125 miles, you have to have a grade separation. That's the only one. Now, there are other policy statements by various agencies or local city interest, and we'll have to figure out how that plays and how that equates to more grade separations. So I say this because the need for a fully grade separated project by regulation is not there. So we have to figure out when we would implement the grade separations over time and maybe in possible strategic areas where there are particular safety issues or intense local traffic matters. But it is something we can figure out beyond the Caltrain electrification project as we further prep the corridor to receive high-speed rail. And it is a lot. Each grade separation could cost from $70 million to over $100
million. Thank you, Marion. Okay. And I hope everyone realizes this is sort of a building block. What we have today is sort of the base, and we really need to build off this over time. I know there's cities here that have some matching funds. We're going to have to do a lot of work over time from the time this happens till, 10 years from now when this is all said and done. as to how we get into some of these grade separations. So, you know, this is the first block in the building blocks of this entire project over time. We have quite a few speakers. I'm going to ask that we limit this the comments to 2 minutes, and I'm going to start with Brian Mora, followed by Roseanne Faust. And you don't have to use the 2 minutes, by the way, just so you know.
Thank you, Chairperson Tissier and the members of the Commission. The City of San Carlos City Council looked at the draft MOU and discussed it at their February 27th meeting and voted to support the concept of early investment. The Council thinks that this is a very compelling first step in terms of modernizing the corridor along the Caltrain route. It's going to bring, as you've heard from some of the previous speakers, improved service, less noise, less diesel use. It's a greener system, and we enthusiastically support what we think is a compelling opportunity here to start the journey to electrified transit, and we strongly encourage you to support the staff recommendation this morning.
Roseanne stepped out, so Jessica Zink, followed by Alan Talansky.
Great. Jessica Zink with the Silicon Valley Leadership Group. Thank you, first of all, to the Commission, to staff, and to the other transit agencies who've been working on this MOU. As many of you know, Caltrain has been a huge priority for our 365 member companies, which span from Gilroy to San Francisco. We've worked really hard with Caltrain and other transit agencies over the last couple of years on their increasing their service, increasing the quality, as well as the fiscal stability of the organization. And we are very supportive of the draft MOU in front of you today. We're also supportive of high-speed rail. We think it's the right move in the long run for the state's economy and mobility. But we made an explicit link by our members to increasing Caltrain service and doing so as early as possible. And so the MOU before you is really in line with the wishes of our memberships, and we think it's in line with the right move for the Bay Area economy. Thank you.
Thank you. Alan Talansky, followed by Rick Hedges, followed by Jim Bigelow.
Chairman Tissier, commissioners, I'm speaking as a citizen and a public policy chair of the San Mateo Chamber of Commerce. We support the investment strategy and the memorandum of understanding that funds an early investment in an upgraded Caltrain corridor. We believe the blended system is the best way to move forward. The grade separations for San Mateo transit-oriented development are also an important part of an upgraded Caltrain corridor. The San Mateo TOD corridor projects represent an investment of several hundred million dollars and will create thousands of jobs and millions of dollars in tax revenue, as well as many additional riders. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Rick Hedges, followed by Jim Bigelow, followed by Larry Patterson.
Good morning. Rich Hedges, resident of San Mateo, an advocate for what we used to call transit-oriented development, now sustainable community strategies. A vote today in favor of this memorandum of understanding will bring us many benefits. It will accommodate the blended train, Caltrain high-speed rail system. It will be increased safety. It'll enable more frequent, dependable passenger service and improve the grade separations and warning functions. I want to talk to you specifically about three grade separations we would like to bring private money to. The developer has $12 million, is what we estimate, in impact funds that will go toward the grade separations at 28 and 31st, possibly the first private public partnership into high-speed rail since Lehman Brothers is gone. We also tell you that it's eligible for Measure A money, around $100 million. And want to tell you that there are nearly 1 million square feet of office space at Bay Meadows and almost 1,100 housing units that can be built out completely. This is an area that MTC has pointed out as being one of the major job growth areas out to 2035. Help us make that come true. And for those of us that may be naysayers to this in the House today, a recent article published by NPR and other newspapers on the census says that California is the most densely urban population in the country, not the East Coast, that seven of the most densest cities are in California, the most densest being the Anaheim, Long Beach, L.A. area. And if you haven't been there lately and seen all of the high-rises and all of the low-rise, the transit-oriented development in Long Beach that's been going on for 30 years, you need to take a trip. I want to tell you that the time has come for this electrification and also for high-speed rail. Help make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Bigelow, followed by Larry Patterson, followed by Roseanne Faust.
Jim Bigelow from the Redwood City, San Mateo County Chamber and the Menlo Park Chamber of Commerce. I want to commend you on the work everyone has put into coming up with a funding package and a direction to finally get Caltrain onto a much more viable course. I can tell you that the number of employees riding this system and with the cost of gas going up is ever increasing, and we obviously need to have more capacity and faster trains. I think as a region, we should be proud of the fact that we have a 50-mile right-of-way that we bring to the table that we own. We're not asking to buy that right-of-way. And also that Caltrain had the foresight in 2007 to make the application to the federal government for a new national train standard. And this transit property would be the first one to demonstrate this new standard for the nation, so we in California can lead. So we would encourage you to move forward with the investment and the resolution and stay the course, and we really appreciate this milestone day that we hope will be here when you make your vote and next Thursday up at High Speed Rail. Thank you.
Thank you. Larry Patterson, followed by Roseanne Faust, followed by Brent Grabe.
Hello, Chair Tissier and members of the Commission, Larry Patterson, Public Works Director for the City of San Mateo. We're here advocating for a modification to the MOU to allow grade separations in San Mateo County to be funded through the early investment strategy. We believe this is an important part of the project and advances both Caltrain's interest as well as high-speed rail. We have the House and Sales Tax measure for matching funds. And we have local funds up to $12 million, which other speakers have referenced. Specifically, what if you look at your packet, what we would be asking for is increasing the number of early investment projects from 2 to 3. We do support the electrification and the train control, advanced train control, but would like to add San Mateo County grade separations to the early investment. That would require some modification to the funding plan, which would include Measure A funds for grade separations, our $12 million, and some additional measure Proposition 1A funds. And I think the original plan was that there was $400 million of connectivity funds that obviously didn't realize that they were obligated already. But I think what we're asking for is an increase in the Prop 1A funding to allow for something in the neighborhood of about an $80 million fund available for grade separations in San Mateo County.
Thank you, Larry. Roseanne Faust, followed by Grant Grody, followed by Roland LeBrun.
Madam Chair and members of the Commission, I want to thank you on behalf of the organization that I'm here representing today. As the CEO of the San Mateo County Economic Development Association, we've been advocating for transportation issues for over a half a century. Our organization represents over 100,000 employees and the major employers in San Mateo County. What we would like is to please encourage you to adopt Resolution 4056 and the early investment plan. The future of Caltrain, we submitted a letter which is in that pink packet that you have, and I want to just draw your attention to one paragraph. It says, with the number of startup companies springing up in the Caltrain corridor between San Francisco and San Jose, maintaining the economic vitality of our region depends on meeting the mobility needs of our workers now and in the future. These are the innovative companies. They are our future. I'd like to be able to say that all the folks in the audience and the folks sitting around the table today can ride an electrified Caltrain in our lifetime. Thank you.
Thank you. Brent Grody, followed by Roland LeBrun, followed by Marshall Loring.
Good morning. My name is Brent Grody. I am the current mayor of San Mateo. And I first wanted to start off and say that we really appreciate MCC's efforts in support of early investment in the Caltrain corridor. We support fully the electrification and advanced train controls that are bringing important improvements to Caltrain. We applaud the effort of MTC to secure adequate matching funds to advance the projects. The City of San Mateo does ask, however, that the recommended projects be expanded to permit early investment in local grade separations in San Mateo County. These have been discussed previously. In particular, the City of San Mateo requests that the 25th Avenue grade separation and rail realignment project be added to the projects eligible for funding within the early investment program. We have provided a letter to you. My understanding is that this letter actually was just delivered this morning. We apologize for that, but I ask you to take a look at that. I'm not going to go into the details on that one. However, I do want to bring up one important point, and that is that the San Mateo County Transportation Authority can provide matching funds under their grade separation funds within the half-cent sales tax rate. And I did get some numbers, and we're talking about in the neighborhood of $160 million for these three grade separations and some station improvements as well. Inclusion of these grade separations within San Mateo County for early investment will not require MTC to identify matching funds from other sources. We ask that MTC include these grade separation funding within the MOU and request that the High Speed Rail Authority identify additional Prop 1A funding that can be made available to fund grade separations in the county as part of our early investment strategy. And I will point out also that Caltrain has been a great partner, much better than the former partner that was supposed to be there. Caltrain is working really well with us. We really appreciate that. And we look forward to them actually coming up with a gate down study that we anticipate in the fall. And that will help us answer some more questions about those 40 grade separations in the county and where we actually need them or just need upgrades to the to the grade crossing. Thank you.
Thank you. Roland LeBrun, followed by Marshall Loring, followed by Mark Leach.
Good morning. I'd like to start by thanking every party in the agreement for their support of the blended system. We are 8 months into the Caltrain modernization planning process, and this investment will be instrumental in attracting private partners willing to share their expertise and to guide us towards the long-term financial stability and growth of Caltrain. Moving forward, it is essential that we remember how we got here today, and that is how Caltrain, under the leadership of Marion Lee, was able to turn this project around by achieving the onset of a consensus among the 17 peninsula cities. This process must be allowed to continue as currently planned by recognizing the Caltrain JPB as the lead agency responsible for every aspect of the modernization program. And one last thing, contrary to popular belief, half of Santa Clara currently does not have a Caltrain transportation system. So I would suggest that you approve Member Licardo's suggestion for a $60 million match amongst all the counties, and that you extend double tracking electrification all the way down to Gilroy. Thank you.
Thank you. Marshall Loring, followed by Mark Leach, followed by, it says Friends of Caltrain, I think it's probably Eureka.
Well, good morning, Commissioners. It's a pleasure to come up here and talk to you a bit about this particular subject. I'm speaking for myself, not my usual role as a member of the Policy Advisory Council. And I wanted to urge you very strongly to support the resolution to get things started with the electrification. This is something that the Southern Pacific should have done not right away, probably 80 or 90 years ago. After all, they electrified the commute rail that SP ran in the East Bay then. Everybody recognizes the benefits of the electrified rail, and it's something that we should be putting in force right now. It's certainly a valuable component of the upgrade of Caltrain to make it a modern, effective, efficient, and environmentally clean system. You've heard all those benefits and advantages. I don't think I need to bore you with those. Just need to urge you to go ahead, pass this resolution, and let's get going on this job of electrifying that right away and giving the control system that's modern and will promote safety in the operation of the Caltrain system. Thank you.
Okay, we still have about 14 more speakers, so feel free to be brief if you'd like. Mark Leach, followed by Eureka, followed by Michael Brownrigg.
Tell him not to talk us out of it.
Good morning.
Yeah, don't talk us out of it was one of the comments my colleagues mentioned.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. And this always happens right when I enter the podium.
I know, Mark. I know I can do it to you.
It's no mystery to some of you why I'm here. I am an electrician, and I represent electricians, and a whole lot of them are sitting at home with no reason to set the alarm clock at night or to wake up on time in the morning, and they would love nothing more than to get out there and start building stuff. So let's electrify this thing. Let's make this happen. And some of the grade crossings that these folks are talking about are key also to this, not just to the train, but to all the other development. One or two grade crossings, that we're talking about 28th and 31st Avenues, they're the tipping point for the transit-oriented developments that also represent tons of work for all types of construction workers. So we support this memorandum and the early investment. Let's go. Thank you.
Okay, that was good. That's a good model there. Yuriko, followed by Michael Bramwick, followed by Michael Cunningham.
Good morning. There actually should be two cards for Friends of Caltrain. So Adina will be speaking
yes,
as well.
Thank you.
So my name is Yoriko Kishimoto. I'm former mayor of Palo Alto and also former board member of VTA and the Air District. But I'm speaking to you today as one of the co-founders of Friends of Caltrain. The Friends got together last year to support Caltrain because it is so central to the quality of life, the clean air, and the economy of all the peninsula cities. So there's much work still left to do, but the day seems to be arriving for Caltrain electrification and modernization. And I truly thank all of you and all the leaders who have worked to align all the stars on this day and urge your strong support for this MOU. I was one of the Peninsula City Council members who originally supported high-speed rail and then raised red flags. We asked high-speed rail to be done right. Why not start by electrifying Caltrain and give the Peninsula City some immediate benefit and also time to plan for future grade separations? So I would ask that you add a clarification that Caltrain is the lead agency to do the environmental clearance, design, construction, and operation of the blended implementation. It's been doing a great job in reaching out to the cities, and I want to commend the staff for running a great train. We do need to find a more systematic way for the peninsula cities to have a direct voice in future decisions, because it is our cities which will both benefit and also pay the price if it's not designed correctly. So with your support today, it will become a true world-class commuter train to service the heart of the global innovation economy, and that will make us all proud. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Michael Brownrigg, followed by Michael Cunningham, followed by Richard Hackman.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. First, just very briefly on Mr. Haggerty's earlier point, the notion of callable capital is well known to any of us in venture capital, and so what the model that I think you ought to look for is, instead of having to deploy all your capital up front, is if it's contractually obligated to have it be callable. That way you can manage the funds yourself. And as I say, in the private equity world, we're well used to limited partners asking for that kind of right so that all their capital isn't tied up. I think that's the model that you were looking for. I'm here to talk about high-speed rail. I'm from the city of Burlingame. I'm speaking as a Californian. As soon as I say Burlingame, about 90% of the people in this room think I'm against what's going on here. That's not true. In fact, Burlingame was one of the earliest people to write in favor to Senator Simidia and Congresswoman Eshoo and Assemblyman Gordon in favor of the blended approach back in July of 2011, long before it became the flavor of the month. So we think this is a smart way to develop the peninsula and develop transportation. However, a really important part of the blended approach was that it won't be four tracks, it won't be a separate system. And I think the MOU is weak in this regard in terms of clarifying that this is not a four-track system except where acceptable by parties for passing tracks, and that was a key part of Senator Simidia's proposal et al. And I will just say finally, on grade separations, we completely agree. So right now, MTC, thank you very much, is helping us look at a modern overpass over 101 at our Broadway off-ramp for 101. It is a very logical time to look at also doing grade separation for the Caltrain corridor. We're going to have a bunch of fire engines on the left-hand side of the tracks trying to service hundreds and hundreds of hotel rooms on the right-hand side of the tracks. And if the gate downtime is keeping those people away, we're going to have a tragedy one day. So I would urge this group to help us grade separate Broadway if we're going to electrify the corridor. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Cunningham, followed by Richard Hackman, followed by Andy Chow.
Good morning. I'm Michael Cunningham with the Bay Area Council representing Bay Area employers. I can't think of another project in the Bay Area that has included so many local agencies contributing their responsible points of view and their funding. And I think that the many agencies that have contributed to developing this MOU have accomplished a pretty remarkable thing. And they all deserve our commendations. I won't restate the many reasons that you've already heard as to why this MOU should be approved and why the project is so wonderful, but please just know, from the point of view of Bay Area employers, this is a critically important improvement to get done, a wonderful opportunity, and please seize it. This Caltrain corridor is the shining star of the Bay Area economy and the California economy. Any part of the U.S. would be falling over backwards to try to support the growth and sustainability of an economy such as the Peninsula Caltrain corridor. Let me say one thing about the High-Speed Rail Authority. It's good fun to bash the High-Speed Rail Authority, and God knows they've often deserved it. In this case, they've done something pretty praiseworthy, and I think it's worthwhile to note it. The authority gave the Bay Area the space to develop its own view of how high-speed rail should be developed in our region. The local agencies and MTC came to the conclusion that it should be a blended system, that Caltrain electrification should go first, and these are the right decisions for the Bay Area. We think they're also the right decisions for the California High-Speed Rail Authority. The wonderful thing is the authority is embracing those decisions and bringing money to the table to get them done. This is, after all these years, finally the foundation of a productive working partnership between the Bay Area and the High-Speed Rail Authority. I would urge you, embrace that working relationship, approve this MOU, and move forward hand in hand to get the job done. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard Hackman, followed by Andy Chow, followed by William Knack.
Hi, Richard Hackman, City of Palo Alto. I know time is limited, so I'll be quick. On behalf of the city, just wanted to jump into a few quick points that we had regarding this MOU. First is the City of Palo wants to say that it supports the concept of a blended system high-speed rail alignment. That said, we need commitment in both writing and environmental documents that a four-track system will not be built in the quarter. Next, we see this MOU as an opportunity to rebuild a working relationship with the High-Speed Rail Authority while moving forward with the electrification of Caltrain on the corridor. And we want to make sure that's done in a way that does not adversely affect communities. And finally, we ask that Peninsula cities have adequate representation in this MOU. It's very important to us that we're given the ability to directly give our input on this document, not having to work through other agencies. So thank you for your time and consideration on this issue, and we look forward to working with you going forward.
Thank you. Andy Chow, followed by Bill Knack, followed by Manolo Gonzalez-Este.
Good morning. I'm Andy Chow, a president of the Bay Rail Alliance. Bay Rail Alliance has been a strong supporter of Caltrain electrification and downtown extension for almost 30 years. And we believe that we strongly support this MOU. It meets the blended system meets the requirements set by Prop 1A, and is also the best approach to meet the needs of our community and as well as the Caltrain commuters. With this package, we believe that with electrification, it would provide a faster, quieter, and cleaner, as well as more frequent service along the peninsula, as well as it will prepare the corridor for downtown extension as well as high-speed rail. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next speaker.
Turn on your mic.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know.
Good morning, Chair Tissier and other honorable members of the commission. My name is William Knack. I'm here this morning representing the San Mateo County Building Trades Council. The Building Trades Council strongly supports the proposed MOU. The MOU proposes funding to electrify Caltrain and install an advanced signaling system on the corridor. The MOU will also act as a catalyst for many planned projects along the Caltrain route, such as needed upgrades to stations and grade separations planned in San Mateo County. The MOU is critical to the creation of many construction industry jobs to enhance access to peninsula employment centers and to further strengthen the region's economic recovery. Construction workers were among the hardest hit in the recent economic downturn. Work is picking up very slowly, and many skilled workers remain unemployed. The construction of a major infrastructure project on the peninsula will revitalize the building and construction sectors of our regional economy. Once completed, electric trains will offer riders, residents, workers, and employers throughout the region a faster, safer, quieter, healthier commute with increased service to nearly every Caltrain station along the corridor. In addition, the numerous ancillary jobs that will be created, including engineers, maintenance, food service, janitorial, station personnel, line workers, communication workers, and others, will further enhance our regional economic vitality. Please vote to support the MOU.
Thank you very much for your comments. Our next speaker is Manolo Gonzalez-Siste, and he'll be followed by Advar Levin. I can't read their handwriting, Friends of Caltrain. Forgive me if that's not correct. Please.
Good morning. How are you, commissioners?
Thank you.
I will be brief. My name is Manolo Gonzalez-Siste with Transform, and we're here to offer our support for the MOU. We understand that since 2000, we've been supporting these ideas of electrification, advanced signal systems, and connectivity to the Transit Bay area. We want to hear to support. We understand that the business plan is not released yet. We have want to see what is on there, but right now I want to offer our support for this. Thank you very much. We're also one of the ones that submitted one of the many letters for you to read. Thank you.
Thank you. Adina Levin, followed by Atul Patel, followed by Paul Cohen.
Sorry.
Adina Levin, Friends of Caltrain, and also a resident of Menlo Park. On behalf of Friends of Caltrain and personally, want to support Resolution 4056 and the early investment plan to pay for Caltrain electrification. Thanks so much to staff and the MTC and all the agencies that worked together to pull this funding package together. When this project is completed, will provide more frequent service, more station stops, and more capacity for Caltrain, which is nearing capacity at rush hour. So this will really support the transit needs of the region and the economy for years to come. That's really excellent. And we also look forward to the work by this body to advance DTX and additional core capacity improvements, including grade separations, going forward. One thing I'd like to support that several other speakers had mentioned in terms of a clarification is it would be very beneficial to clarify that Caltrain is the lead agency for the electrification project. In the process of building the consensus on the peninsula for this project, there's a lot of confusion about the role of the MTC, which is pulling the funding together, and the role that Caltrain plays in the design, in the management, and in working with the community on the design requirements and environmental clearance. It would be very helpful for residents and stakeholders in the local communities to see that Caltrain is the agency that we work with to get this system to be designed right for us. And the MTC then is the agency that helps get it paid for. And also with regard to having the peninsula cities have a better stake at the table, I think that's important. And I think that there's some steps that peninsula cities can take to work better together to have a better voice to Caltrain on a design to MTC for the funding. Thank you.
Atul Patel, followed by Paul Cohen, followed by Rich Napier.
My name is Atul Patel, Transportation Manager for the City of Menlo Park. I'm speaking on behalf of the City of Menlo Park Council Subcommittee on High-Speed Rail. I commend the work done by all the stakeholders in developing an alternative approach for improvements to the regional rail system and expansion and integration of high-speed and regional local passenger rail systems in the Bay Area. We concur with the California High-Speed Rail Authority utilizing a blended system approach within the existing JPB Caltrain right-of-way to minimize the construction impacts to residents adjacent to the tracks. However, the city has some lingering concerns with MOU and the overall project with lack of details concerning the impacts as a result of the early investment projects. The city has four concerns that we'd like to see addressed prior to approving the proposed funding from the authority. Number one, the city is interested in Caltrain providing more service along the corridor with additional stops in Menlo Park, but wants to ensure that it is completed in a manner that maximizes benefits and reduces or eliminates impacts. With that said, Menlo Park has concerns about the early investment project to the extent that it may implicitly obligate Caltrain to future high-speed rail efforts that have not been fully discussed or agreed to by the local jurisdictions. Council's concerned about the potential of unintended consequences. The use of a blended system may increase the use of the system. Additional stops or additional trains may result in increased east-west congestion by non-train traffic, bikes, cars, pedestrians, while the gates are down for the trains. Congestion and traffic delay impacts will need to be mitigated, and those mitigations will need to be evaluated and agreed to by the local jurisdictions. The city would like funding for grade separations to be included to mitigate those impacts. The second point is there doesn't appear to be equal distribution of the MOU, and we'd like to see Peninsula Corridor cities represented in the MOU.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Paul Cohen, followed by Rich Napier, followed by Mark Hirschman. There's a total of five cards here.
Good morning, Chair Tissier, commissioners. Nice to be here again. Paul Cohen, speaking on behalf of the Northern California Carpenters Regional Council. We strongly support the MOU. We think that the blended approach before you improves both Caltrain near-term service and the prospects for high-speed rail. We have had some concerns about the prospects for high-speed rail. We think where they're moving in terms of a revised business plan that invests in the bookends is really the way to go, and this is an important step for that direction as well. We think it's the kind of partnership we should be pursuing at every opportunity. I will state that we support the extension to the Transbay Terminal in San Francisco, but we recognize we can't get the funding for that done today. So we urge you to support what's in front of you. I would like to note that I am pleased to be speaking on the same side as Transform, and I would think that historic moment might encourage you to vote in favor of this just on its own. We understand the MOU in favor in front of you does not address all the issues. It's an important step. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Pass the MOU. Thank you.
Thank you. Rich Napier, followed by Mark Hirschman, followed by Gloria Purcell, and finally by Mr. Mike Scanlon.
Richard Napier. I'm the Executive Director of the City-County Association of Governments, which is the Congestion Management Agency for San Mateo County. And I just want to mention that this project in electrification has been in our countywide transportation plan for a long time. And I want to thank Mike Scanlon and Marion Lee of the Caltrain staff and Steve and his staff for putting together what I think is a win-win for the cities, the county, and the region. So I would urge you to support it.
Thank you. Mark Hirschman, followed by Gloria Purcell, followed by Mike Scanlon.
Good morning, Chair Tissier, members of the Commission. My name is Mark Hirschman. I'm District Director for California State Assembly Member Jerry Hill. I'm here this morning on his behalf. Mr. Hill's 19th Assembly District stretches from Brisbane to Belmont along the Caltrain corridor, and he asked me to be here to express his support for the early investment of the Peninsula Caltrain system. Many of the reasons have already been stated, including faster service, emissions reductions, more stations, increased acceleration and deceleration, increased ridership, and taking cars off of the road. He also wanted to express his appreciation and welcomes the strongest possible language in the MOU that would support the quality of life in the communities along the Caltrain corridor. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Gloria Purcell, followed by Mike Scanlon.
Gloria Purcell, resident of Belmont. And I just wanted to ask a clarifying question, please. The question from San Francisco about amending the costing for the $60 million from all funders was seconded, but I didn't hear that there was a vote on that. Did I miss it?
We have not taken any vote yet. We wanted to hear from the public.
Before you accept his amendment?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, we have a motion to second, but we want to hear from the public before we take a vote of the board whether or not to
accept. All right.
That.
Thank you. And that includes the suggestions that have been made during the comment period. Are you going to be discussing those as well to include?
Some members may want to discuss them.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Scanlon?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for
the opportunity to speak briefly on what hopefully will be a prove to be a historic day. I respectfully urge you to support the MOU that's been recommended by staff between MTC, High Speed Rail, and a number of other stakeholders. It does provide the framework, and only the framework, for the development of high-speed rail to proceed in a reasonable, pragmatic, and I believe an enlightened way. Specifically, it will not over-intrude or over-invest in the peninsula as it comes up the Caltrain corridor. It will provide for the long-planned and long-needed improvements to modernize Caltrain, including the electric propulsion that will eliminate, by the way, 4.5 million gallons of diesel fuel and the associated fumes every year, new rolling stock, and an advanced signal system. But this means, I think, much more than just electrification. Your staff has worked diligently behind the scenes to build regional accord, and I think that regional accord to be able to proceed with funding this project by leveraging the high-speed rail money really clears the path for the next phase of major investments under the federal programs, and so that the issues that were talked about a little bit today, the extension over to Transbay Terminal, the BART extension to San Jose, BART Metro, and some rolling stock and some other East Bay improvements will be available to take care of, hopefully, when the Congress gets around to authorizing the next phase of the federal transit program and include, hopefully, a robust New Starts program. We're grateful for the number of people who have expressed support here today, for the letters that have come in. Obviously, everyone does not quite agree, but Caltrain staff is fully committed to continuing to working with the stakeholders. I would just add that Marion Lee, who you heard from before, Seamus Murphy, and Jamie Ackman are all here. The work only begins when you start constructing a project, and you really have to know how to listen to and work with communities. And please, I would like to point out that each of them has two ears, one mouth, and they use them proportionately. Thank you.
I let you go over time just for that, Mike. Okay, that Mike was our last speaker. I'm going to bring it back to the board. Mr. Mullen and then Mr. Liccardo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks to our many colleagues and from the cities of San Mateo County for being here today, for expressing your support of the project. I want to start with a quick question of Randy, I believe, and then just sort of a final comment here. Final comment from me, of course. Randy, there's been some discussion of grade SEPs, and the city of San Mateo in particular has a very compelling case to make around Bay Meadows transit-oriented development around their stations. Something that I could wholeheartedly support. But it sounds from the request that they're asking to amend this MOU to get very specific about identifying funding for a grade SEP like San Mateo. And we heard a compelling case from Councilman Brownrigg as well about Broadway. Can you outline the roadmap for us here on these grade SEP projects, which are so vitally important to this entire corridor? I'm getting some questions from fellow commissioners about matching money, where those funds will come from. Is it from connectivity funds? Is it the larger pot? Can you just detail that a little bit more for us so at least I have a better understanding how to move forward?
Sure. Commissioners, one of the nice things about this project was a whole lot of willing partners around the Bay Area who understood the moment and the need to try to do what we can but also compromise where we have to. And when it came to the two projects that we ended up recommending here today, one of the features of them is they were foundational projects for the whole peninsula needed for everything else, but also we could find the local match money to do it. But most importantly, I think to answer your question, is that California High Speed Rail provided us with a path to seek an amount of money to get these things done. So California High Speed Rail is expecting to take this item up at its April 5th meeting. And frankly, if California High Speed Rail had provided us with, let's say, $150 million additional of Prop 1A money, I think in the case of this great separation on the peninsula that you're mentioning, there's local match to do that. And it could be in this deal if California High Speed Rail had provided us with the resources to do it. Now, that's kind of the standard that every project had to meet here. If you had local match, you were on the table for a discussion. And what happened with that specific project and the request that we would very much like to include, the issue is we just don't have the money coming from the state. Now, if that changes, there's a very good chance that the commission would see something like this come before them again. This MOU can be amended. This list of interrelated projects that we identify in this MOU has grade steps and other improvements in it, and as resources become available that we need to match 50-50, we will certainly be aggressive seeking those funds from the state and would aggressively come back here to try to get things done.
Okay. And I want to be helpful in any way that I can. I know these things are very critical for our local city. So just while I have the floor, very briefly, I first heard of electrification of Caltrain when I served on the Citizens Advisory Committee of the San Mateo County TA circa 1995, maybe, and I know the conversation well predates that. So this is indeed a momentous day for the peninsula. I know many of our cities are eagerly anticipating what this means, a little bit of anxiety thrown in there as well. And I've heard from many of the affected cities, each with their own projects that they want to put into this overall plan. But this is a huge step today. I think the entire county, all of the cities up and down this Caltrain corridor, are going to benefit from this investment. Quieter, cleaner, more efficient service. I mean, this really is, a breakthrough kind of a moment here. And it's an honor, frankly, to be participating in this conversation and casting this vote. On the grade steps, to be continued. These are such critical east-west connectors on this north-south corridor, and my county is, I would argue, given the juxtaposition of this line, the most affected by this. So these are expensive projects, but we have some local funds identified and compelling cases to be made, transit-oriented projects, which is what we're all trying to support in the region. So we will continue that conversation. So. And regardless of the long-term fate of high-speed rail, and that conversation will continue at the state and federal levels, these are short-term benefits, near-term benefits for our entire corridor, and I am thrilled to support this in support of a two-track, eventually blended system. But this is a milestone day today, and proud to cast the vote.
Commissioner Liccardo, followed by Commissioner Baines,
Thank you. I think my colleague, Commissioner Mullen, put it very well. I just wanted to thank staff for their very hard work on this and really a very creative effort to collaborate with many, many agencies. And I recognize there were a lot of interests and stakeholders here. And I think we've come out with a really fantastic proposal for moving forward. Also wanted to thank friends at Caltrain. I see Yuriko Kishimoto is here. And the many true believers who have been pushing hard to keep Caltrain running during very difficult times. Mike, thank you for your leadership as well. And I think this electrification will certainly help greatly in addressing their operating challenges in the long haul. I also just wanted to thank Supervisor Scott Wiener and his leadership on high-speed rail at a time of really mounting criticism. He's shown an awful lot of leadership, continuing to push forward. And I appreciate his effort to convene with Supervisor Campos and Mayor Lee, an effort in San Francisco to see how we could put something together regionally. And this is the product of that and many other great efforts. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll be brief. I want to associate myself with the speaker who just spoke, Sam. Some comments I think were right on point. This is actually an extremely exciting program for the entire Bay region. I represent the cities in the East Bay. And, for somebody from the East Bay looking at this project, this is going to make such a big difference to this region that it's just overwhelmingly, needs to happen. And I'm very happy for the people on the peninsula that we're moving forward with this, particularly the electrification component. And hopefully we'll get the high-speed rail. But even if we don't get the high-speed rail, it's going to be a huge improvement for the quality of life for people living on the peninsula. And I want to certainly support this this memorandum. I also had a question, which is, along the route, the various stops that the trains are projected to stop, I'm wondering about the ability there to have transit-oriented development along those sites. Has anybody done an inventory of those properties and the potential, and how are we encouraging, the cities to get the kind of density that'll make a difference? And then, I'm sorry, it was an extended question. And then, in addition to that, I would really like to see the proposal that we've done in Berkeley and elsewhere, where we're requiring in these transit-oriented developments that people have a transit pass. So I'd love for the cities and the communities to start thinking about the opportunity that can flow from this.
Commissioner, on the inventory question, we have done it, and this is like PDA Central. I mean, what the communities in that area were built around Caltrain. They weren't built around the road system. So we've got a lot of good work to build on, and I think many of them have been blazing the trail already. I know the city of San Mateo is one of them, as a matter of fact. So I think that's one of the reasons why we think this is so vital, because when you can clean up and quiet down those trains, that's going to make TOD a lot more attractive as well.
Absolutely. And is it possible, as we move down the line, to try to provide some kind of incentives for cities to up zone so we can get higher density? In other words, you know, and obviously it's easier said than done, but if we can think about how we can do that, I think it would be good, because a lot of times local opposition to just any kind of height and any kind of building is really, I think, ill-founded, but it's still there. And to the extent that we can incentivize cities to say, okay, you know, we're gonna have this stop here, and we're going to have, you know, electrification, we're going to have great opportunities to be able to enable them to think larger and more grandiose.
Thank you, Mr. Bates. Mr. Green, and then Mr. Haggerty.
Without touching the 1.456 billion that's being allocated to the advanced signal system and the electrification, which I'm supportive of both, but is there any harm in us, I mean, this unit here, the commission, in at least asking, in addition to this, and as part of the resolution, in at least asking, since San Mateo County does have money for, you know, whatever, I'm just throwing out here something, Kevin, you know, 100 million, whatever the number is, 150. And asking that we have this in addition to what's being proposed here to offer to the High-Speed Rail Authority for grade separations, because I truly believe that it's, we need to start attacking the problem sooner rather than later. So I'm just wondering, again, without reallocating money that's in this recommendation, is there any harm in us saying, in addition to that, we do have this money and we'd like to have a match?
You know, Commissioner, I'd have to say, in the context of your action today, I think it could do some harm. I think we have formed a partnership with the High Speed Rail Authority. I think they have made an offer of $600 million. We also have more connectivity funds in our region than we are offering. And frankly, most of them reside with BART. And the fact that BART's offering any is a bit of a miracle. So I would prefer that we take advantage of this opportunity, strike while this iron is hot, and then follow up. And look, I think the partnership we formed here is not just with the guys in Sacramento, it's within the region. And I think you have our commitment that we're going to be following up on this question of the grade separations in the near term. So I would prefer to maybe let this deal move ahead unscathed, because I worry a little bit about snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Thank you. Commissioner Haggerty, and perhaps I'll say a word or two and we can move on to the vote.
Yeah, we can. Just real quick, I just want to ask a question, and I just want to frame this question just real quick, because, you know, I understand the balance between transit expansion, transit maintenance, and then transit upgrades. So I want to be clear that I think all need to take place, and we should not just hunker down into silos and say that we just need to worry about state of good repair, we just need to worry about, you know, maintaining a facility. But I think expansion also is certainly very important. So having said that, I'd like to say that when we look at the funding plan, could any of that money been moved towards BART's state of good repair?
Well, the main source of funding here that we're contributing is the FTA program. And we have previously made a commitment, you have, to BART's rail car replacement program that is far larger than this. This will not affect that.
No, Steve, I just, you know, when you look at the funding plan that's before us right here, if we wanted to, could we say, instead of spending this here, we want to move it towards state of good repair? It's really just a simple yes or no question. Could any of these funding sources be moved to state of good repair?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. If I may, just a couple quick comments before our vote. First off, as we talked about, this really is the foundation for the electrification for, and really for the future of Caltrain. And so I want to make sure that the cities that are interested, we know we need grade separations. I chair Caltrain. That's a very big issue for all of us, that we will address that down the road. We will come up with a plan. We will look at priorities. There will never be enough money today to go around for all of that just yet, but I've heard from many, many cities, not just the city of San Mateo. So I think for this particular MOU, I think we need to stick with the foundation of what we're trying to accomplish to make sure we bring this money to our area. I also heard the comment about whether or not Caltrain is the lead agency. It is. We're the ones that are going to implement the plan. As you know, MTC helps coordinate the funding. I don't think that needs to be in the MOU, but I do believe it needs to be said so that those that have made that comment send that back to their respective cities. A lot of people have mentioned the Transbay Terminal. They've mentioned the blended. You know, all of those comments and that verbiage will be in the business plan for high-speed rail. So I think even though you're not seeing some of that here or the money for it today, you know, that's the direction we're trying to go with Caltrain's future. And to Mr. Bates, the PDAs, we're working very hard in our county. There's many of our larger cities are building a considerable amount of housing and mixed use around these train stations and up and down the Grand Boulevard. So we have been very, very aggressive in San Mateo County on that effort. So just wanted to mention that to you. And I do want to thank all of you that came today to support this electrification. It's been a long time coming. We've been talking about it for decades. And I believe from just the comments I've heard that we will be moving forward today. But without much further ado, I might as well go and ask for the vote, if I may. We had a motion and a second.
Two motions.
I think we had just the motion that was amended, if I recall.
Oh, right.
Yeah. We just had the one motion, is my understanding. Okay, we have I guess I do have one question. Mr. Scanlon, do you have any heartburn over the amendment?
Of course not.
Okay, good. Just checking. I'm always careful of your heartburn there. Okay, we have a motion, a second, which was the amended motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, seeing none. Congratulations. And we'll move forward. And thank you to my colleagues and for all the hard work that all of you have put into this, Scott, and the rest. Thank you. Okay, we are now to the Legislative Committee. Mr. Haggerty.
Really?
Could you move it kind of fast, please?
You want me to do it fast? I have 45 speakers on this item, Madam Chair. Legislation Committee met on March 9, referred the three items to the Commission. SB 1339E authorizes regional community benefit ordinance to be jointly adopted by the Metropolitan Planning Organization, the Air Quality Management District, applicable to employees of 50 or more employers of 50 or more employees for their employees working at least 20 hours per week. I move support of SB 1339E.
Motion approved.
Second.
I moved it.
We have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none.
SB 1545 to Sonia would prohibit any public this might be a little late would prohibit public money from being used on the improvement of the office building at 139 Main Street, San Francisco, for regional agency headquarters facility until after the state auditor has completed a specific audit relating to the purchase of this property by the Bay Area Headquarters Authority, BAHA, and joint exercise of powers agency created by MTC and BAM. I move oppose of SB 1545 to Sonia.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to oppose. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed to the oppose?
But just a comment,
yes.
Madam Chair. I think it's important that we reach out to the senator. I think that Bill Dodd and I had met with him last week, and I think that you're going to see more legislation coming forward from the senator on dealing with MTC and many of the responsibilities that we have. And what I'd like to recommend is that the chair appoint a representative group of the commission to reach out to the senator, see if we can meet with him, talk about some of the concerns, and see if we can come to some mutual agreement, at least a working relationship on many of the concerns that he has. I think there's a willingness on his part to do that, and I certainly think it would be in the interest of this commission to
make that effort. Okay, I will absolutely do that. Okay. We have a motion, a second. We had all were in favor except for Mr. Green. Okay, very good. Did you catch that, Rosie? Okay,
and if you do form a committee, Madam Chair, as Chair of the Legislative Committee, I'd like to be on that committee, and also DeSaunier is my senator. So federal discretionary grants, regional endorsement. I appreciate that. Regional endorsement of the barrier projects for current federal discretionary programs and approved for MTC to submit applications for funding. I move we endorse the barrier projects for the federal discretionary programs.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, item number 9 is public comment. Anybody wishing to speak? Seeing none, we will adjourn. Our next meeting is Wednesday, April 25th at 9:30. All righty. And I think the last meeting we have is in a different location. Yes, the Baja Group.
I'd like to go in my
Okay.